And now, Jim Dierman.
The last time I was with you in this study portion of our program, we dealt with the question, what is the church? A very important question. And we stressed that the church is called the kingdom of God, as well as being called the church. And it's also referred to in Scripture at times as the bride of Christ, and of course as the body of Christ, as the house of God. Other designations that emphasize different aspects or qualities of the church, but all one and the same institution. And it is vitally important to appreciate the fact that the church and the kingdom are the same, because there are some who erroneously teach that the church and the kingdom are in fact two different institutions, that Jesus established His church as a temporary institution, only to last until such time as He will come again and establish a literal earthly kingdom on the earth and reign in that kingdom for 1,000 years. But last time we clearly established that Jesus used the terms church and kingdom interchangeably in that great text from Matthew 16, where He said to Peter, "Upon this rock," meaning the confession that Peter had just made, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Then He went on to say in verse 19 of Matthew 16, "And I will give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." You see, in Matthew 16:18, He used the term church. But then He used the kingdom of heaven in the very next statement. Thus, the church and the kingdom are one and the same. And last time we talked about the church and when it came into existence. Today we're going to study some beautiful parables of Jesus about His kingdom, the church. Now, we have stressed that the church is the kingdom of God with Christ as King. We also mentioned that the church is called the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the house of God. All of these describe, as we said, the same institution. We must not lose sight of that. And when we looked at the keys to the kingdom last time, we noted that the keys were used figuratively by Jesus to indicate the terms of admission into the kingdom. Now, today we look at some beautiful parables of the kingdom that Jesus gave, recorded in Matthew chapter 13. You know, the Lord did much of His teaching in parables. And the word parable literally means to throw beside. In other words, the Lord used familiar things to teach great spiritual truths. He took the truth and threw beside that truth, as it were, something with which the people were very familiar to illustrate the truth that He was teaching. Now, these parables of the kingdom we're studying today in Matthew 13 begin with the parable of the sower. In verse 3, He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." The sower went out to sow. Kind of reminds us of broadcasting, doesn't it? What we're doing here through Truth for the World, and that's exactly it. The sower went out to broadcast his seed in the field. And that is what we're doing through this Truth for the World broadcast. We're broadcasting the seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God. In fact, in Luke's account of this same parable, Luke tells us in Luke 8, verse 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." That's so important to remember. We must sow the seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God, not the traditions and the creeds of men. Not something mixed with the seed, but the pure seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God. We all know that we reap what we sow, don't we? Therefore, if we sow the seed of the kingdom, we will reap a harvest of Christians, and only Christians. If we sow the doctrines and the creeds of men, the harvest will be a man-made religion that springs forth. Not the kingdom of God, which Jesus established. Not the Christian who is a part of that kingdom to which He's added upon His obedience to the gospel of Christ, as we noted last time. This is a very important point. Now, let's continue reading the parable of the sower. As we look at verses 4 through 9. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That's reading through verse 9 of Matthew 13, beginning at verse 4. So this first parable in Matthew chapter 13 reminds us that the seed, which is the Word of God, no doubt about that, must be sown in the hearts of men, in the minds of men, that is, before a harvest can possibly result. Just as physical seed must be planted in the ground, so the spiritual seed must sink into the heart before fruit can be seen. However, this parable clearly teaches us that while some may respond to the teaching of the Word, others may not, even after responding, endure all the way to the end. Some may not respond at all, and even those who respond may not endure all the way to the end of their lives, is the point. You see, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, according to the text, may choke out the Word of God. Now, this is important. This passage we're considering here is just one among many, pointing out the possibility that a child of God, yes, a child of God, a Christian, may fall from grace. Oh, I know that there are those who teach otherwise, but such teaching is not from the Word of God. Of course, the wayside soil in this parable represents those who never accept the gospel, but they still must have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Those of us who are privileged to be in the kingdom, in the church, who have responded to the gospel, are responsible for taking the truth to all the world. And that's the responsibility that we feel very strongly. That's why Truth for the World is broadcast as far and as wide as possible, and why we pray that God will bless us to expand our work, because the seed of the kingdom must be sown in the hearts of all men, everywhere. All must have an opportunity to hear. And the church, the kingdom that we're studying about, is also referred to in Scripture as the pillar and ground of the truth. That is, the church is charged with the responsibility of taking that truth to all the world. Truth for the world. That's the responsibility, the challenge of the church of Christ. Now, down in verse 24, beginning here in Matthew 13, the Lord gives another parable, the parable of the tares. I want us to notice verses 24 through 30 together. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, later in the chapter, chapter 13 of Matthew now, the disciples ask Jesus to explain to them the parable of the tares, the second parable that's given in this great 13th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus did give the explanation. Let's notice what he said. That begins in verse 37 of Matthew 13. He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age." So it will be at the end of this age. What will happen? The Son of Man will send out His angels, verse 41, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and all those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now notice the main point of this parable as Jesus explained it here in these verses. He's teaching that Christians are those who are in the kingdom. They are the good seeds. They are the ones who comprise the church of Christ, the church. They've been added to the church. They've come out of the kingdom of Satan. They've come out of the world and now they're in the church. But the tares are those who are in the world. They are those still in the kingdom of Satan, those who still belong to Satan. And Jesus taught here that at the end of the world, there will be a great and eternal separation between those who are in His kingdom, the church, and those who are in Satan's kingdom, the world. However, He also stressed that the church is going to have to exist for as long as time stands in the midst of an evil world until the Lord comes again. You see, the Lord does not remove His followers from the world. They must live in it, but not of it. That is, they must not become like the world around them. The very word church means called out. The church is called out from the world. And the church must remain unpolluted by the ways of the world. Now, here's a question that may arise. Is that even possible? Is it possible, considering how we are surrounded by evil, if we are a part of the church today, with things becoming increasingly worse in our society, it seems, morally speaking, is it possible that the church can remain pure? Yes, it is. Certainly it is. In fact, Jesus, in the next two parables of the kingdom in this great 13th chapter of Matthew, will demonstrate clearly that the church may grow despite having to contend with the kingdom of Satan. Let's notice the next two parables. The parables of the mustard seed and the leaven. They're found back in verses 31 through 33. You see, we drop down to get the explanation of the parable of the tares. But back in verses 31 through 33, immediately following the parable of the tares, we find these two parables. Again, remember, we drop down to verse 37 to study the Lord's explanation of the parable. So now let's go back. Let's go back and read the next two brief but very powerful parables. Another parable, this is verse 31, He put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Then we go on, another parable, verse 33, He spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leavened." Now, in these two parables, a common truth is taught concerning the growth of the kingdom, which is the church of Christ. Jesus makes it clear that something that begins in a small way can become something substantial and widespread. So the kingdom of God, the church, began with some 3,000 souls obeying the gospel, as we studied the last time I was with you in the lesson portion on that Pentecost day, remember? That is all recorded in Acts chapter 2. Some 3,000 souls, a small number compared to those who were present to hear the preaching of the apostles on that occasion, but that kingdom would grow despite the efforts of Satan's followers, described in the parable of the tares. That other kingdom that contends with the kingdom of Christ cannot overcome it if we do not allow it to occur. And these two parables we've just read, the mustard seed and leaven, answer the question, can the kingdom grow while surrounded by an evil world, while coexisting with the kingdom of Satan? The answer from our Lord to that question, can it grow, is yes, a resounding yes. However, there's a great truth taught in the next two parables in Matthew 13, which seem to be to me in very logical order in the chapter. And these two parables have an effect upon the rate of the kingdom's growth. These parables are found in verses 44 through 46 of Matthew 13. And in our concluding study of the parables, the next time I'm with you in our study portion of the program, we're going to look at the parables of the hidden treasure and the goodly pearl. Sometimes it's a parable called the pearl of great price, that second one is. Now, previewing these parables, in the closing time we have today, we see something very important. We see that they tell us that the growth of the kingdom will be dependent upon how the citizens of the kingdom, those who are in it, value the kingdom. That point cannot be overly stressed. Do the members, in other words, of the Lord's church, the kingdom of Christ, value it? Value that treasure as the singular treasure, not a treasure among other treasures. But do those who comprise the kingdom value the kingdom as the singular treasure of their lives? Do they see it as the one pearl of great price? We'll study more next time about this important aspect of the Lord's parables of the kingdom here in Matthew 13. Meanwhile, our study thus far, I believe, shows us a logical order in which the Lord gave these wonderful parables about His kingdom in this wonderful chapter, Matthew 13. The first parable, the parable of the sower, teaches that the seed, the Word of God, must be sown. It must be taught. And when it is taught, some will respond and become members of the kingdom through their obedience to the Lord's teaching by belief that Jesus is the Christ, repentance of sin, confession of Christ, and burial with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. When they do those things from the heart, the Lord Himself adds them to the church, the kingdom. But in the kingdom, they must coexist alongside another kingdom described in the second parable, the parable of the tares. A parable that I believe is in its logical sequence here. And the question then arises, can these members of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the church, can they survive, much less grow, in this kind of situation, with this kind of evil surrounding and pressure? As we notice, the next two parables of the mustard seed and leaven answer the question in the affirmative. Yes, the church can grow. However, as we're about to see in a future lesson, the final segment of this study of the parables, that growth will be dependent upon how Christians who are in the Lord's kingdom value their possession, how they see their blessings. And oh, how important that study is, because you see, it's not enough to view the church as a treasure among treasures, or as a pearl among pearls. the church must be the treasure, the pearl.